We're on? Okay. Praise the Lord. Have you noticed, I know it's not just me, but have you noticed that most churches have locked people out? I keep hearing it. I mean, it's like, and I understand from a liability standpoint, I understand if there's a denomination that's above them that says you got to do this. I get all that. And I understand that the Lord tells us not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. And so, no matter what, I think right here, right now, we've got a good representation of how that can happen. We're not crawling up on top of each other. Nobody's waving each other's breath in their face. And as I said before, I know that this disease is real. I don't make light of it. People think I do, but I don't. It's deeply distressing in some areas, even in this country, even in this county. Everyone who wants to stay home is choosing to do so today. Have I forced anybody to come to this building? I haven't forced anybody. Anybody who can't because of their health concerns or they can't for other reasons, they're not here. And the people that can are joining us online. And we appreciate that that's possible. We know that some are home because they're sick. We know that some are staying home because they have serious health challenges or somebody in their house does. They don't want to bring anything that could possibly challenge that health of their loved ones any further. And again, I'm all for their decision to remain at home. I have to preempt every service like this because of the fact that people are trying to shift responsibility. Like it's my responsibility. Somehow it's my responsibility. I should lock the door. You can stand out on the porch, but you can't come in, right? No, I can't do that. I can't. And I'll tell you why as we go into the message. You know, nobody's forcing anybody to be here and nobody's forcing anybody else to stay home. It's all by choice because we are free men and women on this land and we have the right to travel, the right to assemble, and the right to worship. These are God-given rights. These are not man-given rights. They're not given to us by the government. They're given to us by God. So we do what we do because we're doing it unto Him. And we're going to honor God today. We're going to honor God as we lead others into His Word. And so before we do, I want us to pray, and then we're going to get into the 10th chapter of Hebrews. We're going to read from the 10th chapter of Hebrews. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would just open our minds today, Lord. Everybody who listens online, whether they are for or against You, whether they are for or against gathering together, Lord, I ask that You would just open our hearts as we worship You here in the building and online. We ask that You would just help us to receive Your Word. Thank You for loving us sinners. Thank You for opening the way. And Lord God, please eliminate any distractions from our minds. This whole world is trying to distract us from paying attention to You. And so we ask, Lord, that You would help us to keep our mind on You. That we keep our eyes upon You. Lord God, turn our hearts to You for Your name's sake. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father. Help us to hear only from You. We have sung, Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. And we trust, Father, that Your Spirit is among us. Help us to believe, Lord, even when we have doubts. Help us to overcome those doubts. That the world's assaulting us in our faith today. And there are those who claim that this isn't about your faith. This isn't about your rights. Well, Lord, I see it that way, and I believe You do too. And I know there are others who do. So I ask that You would help me to speak clearly and concisely, Father. That I would just be filled with Your Spirit and the unction to speak. And that all who are within the sound of My voice would also receive Your Spirit. That we would learn to live as Your Word commands. We would live our lives the way that pleases You, we pray in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, you'll find that on page 1842 there in those Bibles in your seats. Page 1842, Hebrews chapter 10. 1842 is the page in the Bibles there in your seats. My fingers don't work right sometimes. These pages are thin, and my fingers aren't. Praise the Lord. All right. So Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to begin with verse 19, and we're going to read through verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning at verse 19, and this is what's written there. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Thus it is written, and that's where we'll stop our reading. We trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His word. Now, we all know this is a time unlike any other that any of us have ever experienced before. Things are changing rapidly. It's like you snap your fingers and suddenly there's another decision that's been made that's going to impact your life. And it might impact your life for the rest of your life. You know, I started to tell the children earlier that this is the day that's traditionally held as that day we call Palm Sunday. And in many church buildings, there would have been palm branches and leaves and such. And very often we've had the children wave the palm branches and walk in the sanctuary and say, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We don't have any of that religion today. There's none of it. People make idols of things, and sometimes those palm branches become an idol. I had a woman one time that got appalled, as I said earlier, and put them on the floor and had people walk on them, just as Jesus did. She was appalled because I put the palm branches down on the floor. Don't make an idol of anything. It mocks God. You know, it doesn't matter if it's something that's in a religious building. It doesn't matter if it's in a religious service. Don't make an idol of it. You know, I've told people, our Lord, when He was coming into Jerusalem, they thought He was going to be the king. He was going to overthrow the Romans. They thought He was the man. And they all had their eyes on Him right there. But within 1 week, they'd taken their eyes off of Him. They quit looking at Him. Because what they were really looking at was a Savior that was going to save them from the earthly things. Not the spiritual things. And they really missed the mark. And we need to be people who keep our eyes on our Lord. That's why I've entitled this message, Keep Your Eyes Upon the Lord. Simple. You know, the series of messages, this isn't one of the series that we chose for the Lenten services, most of which were canceled. I think after the second week, the Lenten services were canceled this year, the community services. This isn't one of the messages. The Lord gave me this message this week. Keep your eyes upon Him. No matter what the world shows, no matter what the world does, no matter what you see before you in this world, keep your eyes upon the Lord. And as I've said before, I know that the disease is real and it's deeply distressing to a lot of people. But I'm not going to lock people out of this building. I am not going to lock people out of this building. Not. Yeah, I told somebody this last week. It was probably April 1st, probably 4 days ago, 5 days ago. And he said, he started to accuse me of things. He said that having the doors open is contributing to the problem. How many of you are sick? Nobody. How many of you know somebody who has this virus. And for the record, nobody's raising their hands. How many of you have been exposed to somebody? Nobody. Okay. So I reject that claim. I rebut that claim that we're contributing to the problem by meeting to worship Almighty God. I responded by telling them that's rhetoric. It's being pushed by the talking heads on the big screen TVs. Shifting responsibility. You know, that's what they're doing. They're shifting the responsibility because all of you are self-responsible individuals. And, you know, whenever that shifting responsibility thing happens, it reminds me of a time when a politician blamed me for the drug problem in the community because I had a payphone on my building. It was a long time ago. We still had payphones. I know some of you might not even know what a payphone is. But he blamed me. He said, "You're the problem." I said, "Well, he said, "Your phone is the problem." I said, "The last time I looked, my phone was an inanimate object that hangs on a wall and people use it. In fact, because it's at the bus stop, the people who might be in danger could pick up that phone and call 911. It was a safety thing." But they didn't want me to make any money on my building. They were trying to take the building from me. And eventually they succeeded, and it was through a bunch of fraud. And I won't go into that story. But shifting responsibility from the person who uses the telephone to me was what he was doing. And I rebutted his claim, of course. A big, long letter I wrote to him. But that's what people are doing with this thing. They're claiming that somehow if somebody keeps the doors unlocked and other people choose to come into a building to worship Almighty God, that somehow the person who left the doors open is at fault for something that's imagined, for something that could happen, that might happen. But I'll add, unlikely to happen. Man harassed me for not locking folks out. Also said everyone needs to be following the CDC guidelines and follow the orders set in place currently. So I went to the CDC website. What are they ordering? What are they recommending? Okay. So I looked him up. I shared him with him. And his response, he called me prideful. He called me prideful because I did what he said to do. I should follow the CDC guidelines, right? Well, let me tell you what the CDC says. To reduce stress on yourself and others, it recommends sharing the facts about COVID-19 and understanding the actual risk to yourself and others. And I've done that. And I've been criticized for that, too. "Oh, you're downplaying this whole thing. Oh, you're mocking God," somebody said. "Here's the risk, okay? Here's the statistics. Oh, God's not about graphs. God's not about facts and figures." Okay. All right. The CDC also says that doing this, sharing the facts, can help. This is what they say. It can make an outbreak less stressful. That's what they say. That's their recommendations. Help people learn the facts. All right? I've done this. And then they go on to say, when you share accurate information, you help make people feel less stressed and you allow, and it allows you to connect with them. How many of you feel connected today? They want you to connect. I'm not mocking it, okay, folks, really. I've got to make some light of this because to me, this whole thing is just hysteria. Yes, we have a serious problem. Yes, this virus is a problem. Yes, I've read some things that say it's mixed with this or that, and the other was made in a factory and whatever, or a lab. And it also tells, on their website, this is from the CDC website, it's a direct quote, "Learn more about taking care of your emotional health." Because everybody's getting all rallied up in this thing, okay? They're getting all riled up. "Oh, it's the end of the world." Okay, well, here's some things the CDC states about things you can do to support yourself emotionally, because they have that section on their website. I said, okay, let me go there and look at that. It says, take breaks from watching, reading, or listening to news stories. That's what they say. That's what they say. That's a direct quote, all right? It says, including social media. Hearing about the pandemic repeatedly can be upsetting. No kidding. Seriously? They got to have some doctor say that? Okay, yeah, some people just don't get it. Okay, you keep feeding that into you and you're going to keep getting that panic. You're going to keep getting that fear. And I say, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Shut the news off.
That's what I told people. Shut the news off. I did. I told them. Shut off the television. Quit feeding this into yourself because it's driving people mad. Just go into any grocery store and look for a roll of toilet paper. It's crazy. And then there's people that are literally locked up because of their health. They really have serious health concerns and they can't get out to the store. Or because of their finances, they can only get out once a month. And when they get to the store, guess what? They can't find what they need. Because all these other people are so panicked and they're running out and they're grabbing everything. It infuriates me. It really does, folks. If I'd have had the forethought, I would have done that myself and I'd be sharing it with people. They go on. That's not all they say. Take breaks from watching, reading, or listening to news stories. That's advice from the Centers for Disease Control or whatever they're called. CDC says take care of your body. Take deep breaths. Open up your lungs. Breathe deeply. Get lots of air in there because the oxygen helps you think clearly, okay? You're sitting there on a television watching a screen all day. You're not breathing deeply. Those of us who were moving milk this week, we were breathing deeply, let me tell you. We gave away about 1,200 gallons of milk over 4 days. Praise God. Take deep breaths. Stretch. Meditate. Well, you know, I don't know what kind of meditation they're talking about, but I say meditate on the Word of God. And I've been posting on my Facebook page the Word of God. And people read it and they say, thank you. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate it. Because I tell them what God's Word says. Be not afraid. He'll bless those who remain true to His Word. He says so. It tells you to eat healthy, well-balanced meals, whatever that means to them. Exercise regularly, get plenty of sleep, and avoid alcohol and drugs. Now, some folks, that's their go-to. They feel stressed, they go to alcohol, they go to drugs, whatever those things are. Make time to unwind, they say. Try to do some other activities you enjoy. Whoa, wait a minute. We got a window of opportunity here, ladies and gentlemen. Connect with others. Are we connecting? You know we are. We're actually doing what the CDC says to do. Oh, they don't see it that way, I'm sure. Do activities you enjoy. Does anybody enjoy worshiping Almighty God in this building?
Yes.
Amen. Talk with people you trust about your concerns and how you are feeling. I suspect there's some of that goes on here too. They also give several recommendations about isolating those who are sick. If you're sick, stay home. If you cough, do it in your elbow. If you sneeze, cover your sneeze. Wash your hands. Everybody remember to wash your hands. My mother taught me that one. I didn't need the CDC for that. I'm following all of those things that they instruct. I have done these things and still I've been criticized. That's okay. And I also point out that the CDC says nothing about locking the church building. Then I'm called prideful. Who do you think you are? I don't think I'm anybody. That's what the priest said to me when he was choking me when I was a teenager for preaching the word. When I hear people say that, that's what it reminds me of. Who do you think you are? God's servant. That's right, they killed him, huh? Oh, Lord. He said, don't worry when they hate you. They hated me first. And these are supposed Christians. I'm not talking about people that are out in the world that don't know him. These are people that claim to know him. I asked this guy. Really, do you know Him as your Lord? I have no question about my salvation. I said, okay. You know, I have to tell you, I believe that leaving the doors open is an option. It is an option for those people to be able to come and worship. And I believe that just having that option, even if they're not going to come, that option is a pressure relief valve.
Amen.
Because they know the doors are open here. They know if they want to, they can. And it stops that fear. Oh, look, even the church is closed. Even Pastor John's hiding in fear. No, I'm not. If they choose to stay home, great. They can choose to stay home. I'm okay with that. Join us on Facebook. We try to go live around 11:45. Doesn't always work out. Used to be 11:30, but then we started doing the praise and worship songs, and it takes a little longer to do those than the hymns, and praise God, we're good with that. We're trying to iron out the difficulties. But we want to leave the doors open as an option. If nothing else, it's an option. Now, my critic went on to say, if you can't see why it's a problem while every church is closed, this one isn't. This building is not closed. This church that meets in this building, we're not closed. We're open to receiving the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if you can't see why it's a problem while every church is closed other than emergency services, which I don't know what he means by that, I hope you won't have to face people infected with the virus because you're not following the guidelines. Now, what he's saying is, I hope you will. That's what he's saying. This is a supposed Christian, a proclaiming, professing Christian. Okay? Now, let me go on. And this is why this turned into a sermon, because I responded to this guy. It took me like 2 hours to make sure all my words were right and all that kind of stuff. And I said, no, this isn't for him. This is for everybody. Well, the Lord spoke to my heart. Don't throw pearls before the swine. You won't have to face people infected with the virus. And he wants me to. And what has to happen for you to understand the seriousness of this outbreak? I understand it's a serious outbreak. Nothing has to happen. I get it. But I'm not cowering in fear. And I have to tell him and everybody else, my first concern is for souls. Even his. Everyone's eternal soul is in danger right now. Do you all realize that? Because there is coming a time, and I believe that many of us, maybe all of us in this room and all that are online, are going to face a time when we have to make a choice. We're going to choose to either be able to continue buying and selling things, or we're going to choose to not be able to continue buying and selling things. Because there's going to be some kind of a mark, and I don't know what that mark is. The Scripture tells us it's the number of a man. And that number is 666. 666. 666. Or however it's written. And without that mark, you will not buy and you will not sell. Thus it is written. And everybody's going to make that choice who's alive on the earth at that time. And I will submit to you this closer than any of us believe. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He is coming back. Yeah, I'm thankful that we have this unseen pressure relief valve called the doors are unlocked. Okay? I know that the people in this land have been sold a twisted rapture lie. It promises them a get-out-of-tribulation free card, see? It says, you're not going to be here. But I'll tell you, folks, I've studied it out. I'm not going to go into that whole doctrine, okay? And I'm not going to tell you the source of it and all that. And this is just a deep, deep hole to go down into to dig out the truth, all right? But that lie is that we're going to all be taken out of here before any trouble comes. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell that to the people who were believers in the Middle Ages? Why don't you tell it to the people in China who are suffering and dying right now? Why don't you tell it to the people all over the world who are dying for their faith? Oh no, don't worry, you're going to get out of this before there's any trouble. That's an American lie. It's a deception. It's right out of hell. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but I have studied it. I'm confident that what I'm saying is true. I wouldn't state it if I wasn't sure. They believe that we can't be where we are. Because after all, they've been taught that they're going to be whisked away. Privately, silently. But you know, their belief isn't going to change the objective reality. The truth of the matter is, if anybody wants to, we will sit down and we will go into the Word of God and I will show you what His Word says. We have to peel away those layers of the untruths that have been taught. Now, let me tell you, there are some very well-meaning, God-fearing men and women who have taught this lie. They don't know that it's a lie because they haven't gone beyond the lie. They've taken it to wherever it is that their structure has brought to them to say, this is what's happening. And it's not. It's not. By the Word of Almighty God, it is definitely not the truth. People are not going to be whisked away. Jesus isn't coming in for a secret grab and then taking off and then coming back. There's nothing in the Word of God that says He's coming in twice. He's coming once. And when He comes, Almighty God's Word tells us everybody's going to know it. And I tell you, that thing, that scares me because there are people that are sitting on their hands and they're saying, I'm just waiting for Jesus. No! That's not what we're supposed to do. We're to be His hands. We're to be His feet. We're to be doing what He says to do. Let me tell you, folks, we've arrived in the delivery room. He said, this is the labor pains. He laid it all out. He said, you're going to see this, and you're going to see that, and you're going to see this, and you're going to see that, and you're going to see all these things. And then the Son of Man comes. After the tribulation of those days. That's what He says. We're in the delivery room and the whole world's quaking. The whole world is contracting. The whole world is shaking in labor. It is written. And to be absolutely clear, I'm not instructing people to leave their homes unnecessarily. I love the people that I serve, and anybody who knows me knows that. I want no harm to come upon anybody who hears me speak. Most people are staying at home unless they have business to do. They got to go out somewhere. They got to do something that they believe is essential. Like attending a worship service, for example. It's essential. It's not what they call non-essential. And, you know, speaking of essential and non-essential, anybody who runs a small business, that business is essential to them. We'll just drop that one for a moment because it'll get ugly if I go there. All right. My wife and I, we stay home unless we have to go somewhere. It's not like we're trouncing around just because we can. We stay home. We're not out there trying to get some sickness, okay? And we're not mocking God. Here, we got a snake. Let's let him see if he bites me and see if I live. No. Somebody accused me of that. But we are going to gather together in the Lord's name, because to us it is essential. And obviously it's essential for all of you. Together! Together! Okay? Now, I'll get back to that. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord. That critic of mine, he said, we have a serious pandemic on our hands. And he said, there's already a severe shortage of ventilators and medical supplies and hospitals, and they're going to be overrun by this. People of all ages are dying from this. And I repeat, this is not a joke. Okay. He's not fear-mongering, though. Right? He said he's a medical professional at a Pittsburgh hospital. He named the hospital. I'm familiar with it. And I thought, okay, this is credible. This guy, he knows. He's on the front line. He's right there. He knows what he's talking about. I got to investigate this a little bit further, okay? So I asked him. I said, are you seeing this firsthand? I mean, where you work? And he replied, yes, this is not an April Fool's prank or joke. And I said, oh man, okay, let me just dig just a little bit deeper. Just a little bit. He had me hooked. So I asked him, so you're saying that, and I named the hospital, is overrun with COVID-19 patients. I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying, because I always confirm any information before sharing it, because I'm ready to share this. I'm going to tell people, hey, this is really serious, folks, especially for my friends in Pittsburgh and family. We've got people there. And I'm expecting a yes or no answer, right? Pretty simple question, straightforward. Are you saying this is happening right there where you are right now? His reply, what was it? I cannot speak about patient care at the hospital or what is currently being administered by the hospital. You would have to call the hospital for that information. I myself cannot publicly release any statements. And you know what happened with his credibility with that? Whew, right out the window. Now, he's telling me that he's right there on the front line. He sees it firsthand. And then when I ask him, so you're actually seeing it? Well, I can't speak to that. Right. I don't believe it. I don't believe he's seeing what he's saying, except on the big screen TV. That's where he's seeing it. And then I've done some investigation there, too, and some of the stories that they're showing with all these people lined up waiting to get into the hospital. There's people that went out on their own and they did videos. Here's the hospital. Where's the line? I'm like, seriously? Now, I have a friend who has co-workers who were going to New York, and they promised me to get me first-hand information. And when I get that information, I will share it. If they say, this is real, it's really happening, and they show some video of all the lines and all that stuff, then I will share that. But until then, I will not. Now, I can tell from that man's responses and other comments that I've received about this scare that we have different ideas about the necessity of gathering together in the Lord's name. You know, a simple yes or no would have been appropriate. But instead of an honest reply, he sidestepped my question. I can't answer that. Well, don't say it. Don't tell me that this is happening if you can't give me firsthand personal knowledge of it. Don't pass on something regurgitated from the television. Now, I do feel his concern. It comes out in his writing. There's no doubt about that. This guy is scared. He is scared, man. Right up front, I got to tell you. And calling me names, calling me prideful, telling me to set my pride aside. Where that comes from, I have no idea. Anybody who knows me knows that's not true. I'm not the most humble guy in the world. There's sometimes, Jimmy knows, I'll pop off. It's right in there on the table. Right there. And I will definitely tell people, I'm sorry, Jim, I'm sorry. I say it in public because it was in public that I did it. But you know, name calling and shaming doesn't do anything to persuade me to lock those doors. Not going to happen. Bullying does not make me move. The bullies that have breathed on my face with their heads right up against me or up in my face, and that's happened to me in my life, I just stand there. Okay, are you done yet? You're not going to bully me into locking the doors. It isn't going to happen. Not going to happen. Now, again, I said, I feel his concern. And I'm convinced, for many reasons, that this is not a joke. It's not something we should take lightly. If we know somebody has COVID-19, don't jump in the room and start waving their breath in your face. Okay? Mike? But I know that much of what's being pushed by the media, those companies that make money on selling the stuff that everybody's consuming, it's being sensationalized. It's used like a cattle prod to move their consumers to slaughter. And there's some people that they're so used to watching this stuff that as soon as it comes, they're lapping it up like a cattle lap up milk. It's poison. The people who are being prodded don't comprehend that they're being pushed into a drive toward the slaughter. And those people that are all infiltrated with these lies and sensationalized truths, those who buy what the media companies sell, I've seen, at least in my experience, and this is first-hand knowledge, they don't see the beauty in the world anymore. When I was going to pick up food the other day, I put my phone on live and I said, honey, let's do a video. What a beautiful sunshiny day. Everything's starting to turn green again. Let's help people have hope. But you know what they see? They see us like a virus. Like we're the killers. Oh, you bad people who are gathering together in the name of the Lord. You're the ones that are at fault. It's your fault that people are getting sick. Not here. And there are those who are affected by diseases that are stuck at home all day, every day. And these media scare stories are bombarding them all day long. They might be watching Andy Griffith and on comes a story that says, you're going to die! Oh, this isn't Andy Griffith's show. This isn't Mayberry anymore. Blasting this message of fear all day, every day, all day, every day. And they're frightening people. And we are not given a spirit of fear. True believers of the church, we walk by faith, not by sight. We're not given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And let me tell you, being overrun by fear is disempowering. Being overrun by fear, that's unloving. Being overrun by fear is unsound. And so I quote again, Hebrews 10:25, we're not to be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. But exhorting one another, uplifting one another. And somebody criticized me for doing that, because I'm uplifting people. You're taking people away. This is the wrath of God coming down on the earth, and you're taking people's eyes off of it. No, I'm not. I'm doing what the Scripture says. I'm exhorting you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And he says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, do this so much more as you see the day approaching. Gather yourselves together. Now, let me ask you something, okay? At the time when that was written, what did it mean to gather yourselves together? Stupid question, right? They physically got together. Oh, but you can do that online now, Pastor. You can do it online. It's not the same. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the critics say. It is not the same. And guess why? Because spiritually we are united right now, right here in this building. When two or more are gathered together, He is in our midst. And the enemy knows we are a force to be reckoned with. The people of God who gather together. We had a little prayer meeting right out here in the corner of the building the other night. Deborah and Tom and Deborah Tinsha came up here to get some milk. They were going to deliver it down into Butler, and they did. Praise God. And we prayed right out here, the three of us, and we were together. Yes, we were. We were physically together. And you know what? We even hugged each other. I know. Went against the social distancing rules. Lord, help us. Okay. Let me put on my mask, right? Now I'm going to preach with a mask on. Come on. True believers of the church. I saw a thing this morning where people were making their own masks because there's no masks available. And now, in Pennsylvania, the governor is recommending, and people are taking it as an order, we're not ordered, to wear a mask when you go out in public. A good policy, right? If you want to wear a mask, put a mask on, right? It's a recommendation. It's not an order. It could turn into an order. It's likely to. But there's a guy who cut a water bottle. You know, those big plastic water bottles. Like, he cut a head hole and put it on his head. That's his mask, okay? There's another one. I took a party favor hat from a child and put that, strung that on their head and poked a hole in the bottle. That was their mask, right? Another one had a plastic bag over their head with some elastic on it under here. So they, yeah. Then there was a guy that tied a tennis shoe on his face. That was his mask. It's craziness. All because of fear. Prodding people along. Here's the lane. Stay in it. Oh, don't step over the line now. Stay in the lane. I'm not going to be overrun by fear. I'm not going to be disempowered. I am not going to be unloving, and I am not going to be unsound. My mind is going to stay fixed on the Lord. I'm compelled by my submission to my Lord to not forbid people from gathering together to worship Almighty God. That order to, in the Scriptures, the order, the command, whatever word you want to use, to gather together, it is a command. And those who choose to remain at home are welcome to join us as we go live on Facebook. I say that over and over. We welcome everybody. That guy that was criticizing me, he said, heed my warning and the warning of others. Move services to online only at this time until this storm is calm. There is no common flu shot or immunization currently that is a magic wand to fix it. It's not gathering together. Online is not gathering together. And not everybody that is staying home can get online. They don't have that capacity. I know people up in the forest in Elk County, they don't have internet service that's reliable enough to stream a service. Isn't going to happen. Oh, but they're way out there. They're not going to get it, right? Okay. If somebody will, I'm sure somebody will criticize everything I have to say. And I'm okay with that. They can criticize all they want. And this is where it got really interesting. This guy instructed me to focus on not spreading the infection, or worse, killing others involuntarily. Now, let me be clear right now. I am not intending on spreading infection, and I'm certainly not seeking to kill anybody. You're not here to be killed. You're here to be brought to life. Everlasting life. I sincerely believe I would harm people if I locked those doors. If I locked you all out of this house of worship, I believe that it would put your eternal souls in danger. I'm not authorized by God to do that. Did you hear me? I'm not authorized. The authority that God has conveyed to me does not give me the power to lock you out of here. No matter who says what. I'm not going to go into all that. I put a lot of it into my book. In fact, every aspect of this is in my book. When we're talking about obeying God rather than men, there's no authority except from God. And we need to understand the biblical boundaries of our obedience and submission in the last days. Everybody must know that. The book's not published yet. Of course, COVID-19 scare kind of slowed things down a bit. But if that doesn't work out, I'm going to just have it published. And I'll give everybody copies because I want you to learn the truth of God's Word on this matter. The man that was criticizing me, and others like him, they just regurgitate that rhetoric that's intended to strike fear in the hearts of everybody who hears or reads what they say. Sinus infection's getting better, by the way. I think all the sunshine and fresh air, giving milk away, that's what helped. And that heavy breathing, you know, carrying those milk crates, they're heavy, man. Handing them out of the truck. Putting them in the truck. Yeah, we had a milkman here. He says, I do that every day. What are you complaining about, right? Good exercise. I agree. He said, you can help people with food and essentials. This is what my critics said. This is the defining statement, I believe. But people do not need to be filling church pews. So now, he said, you can give them what's essential, but church pews and worship, that's not essential. That's what he's saying. And see, that's where I draw the line. I disagree. Church service, worship services are essential. They are absolutely essential. And as I said, I'm not authorized by God to stop that from happening. In fact, the government isn't authorized by God. Oh, dare I say it? They're not. They're not authorized to do it. Those people don't believe that religious fellowship's essential. And I know Almighty God believes it is. He says so in His Word. He wouldn't have commanded us to gather ourselves together. The guy claims he's saved, but the fruit coming from that assurance that he has causes me concern. He said, this isn't about taking your rights away. It's about keeping your family and your friends and your neighbors safe. And I can tell you, my family and my friends and my neighbors and everybody else that I know who's self-responsible takes responsibility for their health, and they do everything they can, including washing their hands for 20 seconds or longer, according to the CDC. But don't shift that responsibility to me, because just because I refuse to lock the doors, it has no bearing on anybody else's responsibility to make choices. You see, I was raised that way. The school that I came up in, my grade school, not so much the middle school, but the high school, they taught us self-responsibility. You made a mistake, guess what? You came up in front of the class, and they took a board with some holes in it, and they laid it on your backside. They called that the Board of Education, and they applied it to the seat of knowledge. And you learned to be responsible. We've taken that away the last 30 years or so. Now we've got a bunch of people who run around not being responsible for themselves and shifting that responsibility to everybody else. It's not my fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. No, not in the eyes of God, it's not. Oh, maybe in the eyes of the state, I might be blamed for something. But not in the eyes of God. And that's who I care about, because I'm keeping my eyes on Him. And this really causes me serious concern for the eternal souls of those people who claim to be saved, who claim to be believers, and yet they're saying it's not essential to worship God together, even though His Word commands us to. You know, all of us are choosing spiritual health and spiritual life. That's what we've done here today. Did you know that the abortion providers the abortion providers' doors are still open? It's deemed essential. And those people who choose to walk through those doors, are they not responsible for their choice to do so? This is a serious question. I'm serious now, okay? I have to ask this question. Real lives are in danger. Because there's one thing we know when a woman walks into an abortion clinic pregnant and comes out not pregnant. One thing we know for sure. They killed somebody. They took a life. We know when they go into the abortion clinics that people are going to die. We know it. There ain't nobody coming in here that's dying. We had a funeral one time and a guy keeled over, had some sort of medical episode. I don't know what it was. And everybody, as I'm preaching, I said, we're all going to die one day. And he went, ah, boom. Got everybody's attention, though. I got to say, it got everybody's attention. God rest his soul. He has since gone on to be with the Lord. Do you know, sometimes God uses those kinds of things to get people's attention. And I think that this whole COVID-19 scare is one of those things. God's saying, wake up, church! Wake up, pastors! Wake up, preachers! Wake up, people! Think about the grocery stores. They offer online. You can do your grocery shopping online, right? You go on, you get a picture of your bananas, and you can say, yeah, I'd like a bunch of bananas, right? I don't know about you, but I'm not buying bananas online. I'm not buying my produce online. I'm not going to buy my meat if I get any meat. And I don't eat very much, but I'm not going to do that. And most people won't. They're going to go to the grocery store. And they're going to pick out what they want. And if they're like me, they're going to have their wife with them. And she's going to say, no. Or, yeah, that'll work. As for us, we're going to keep our eyes on the Lord. I've gone to stores several times since this scare started. In fact, I started recording, going live in the store. Look, people, there's food. Look, people, hop, We got toilet paper. You don't have to run out. Don't be scared. Be not afraid. I did several videos in a number of different places all over the area, okay? Down in Butler, even around here, over in Ohio, we were over there a couple times. But you know what I saw when I was in those stores? Hundreds of people, more than ever, graced the doors of this building. Were all the workers wearing masks? Nope. Were all the people wearing masks? Nope. But their buildings remain open. Their buildings are open, and I don't hear a big outcry, "Shut down the grocery stores!" No, because the people think that that's essential. They don't know how to fast. You know, if we did a 40-day fast and we'd all pray, guess what? First of all, some of us would lose much-needed weight to be gone. Okay? And secondly, God would hear from heaven. He would. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and in that context, humbling means fast, and pray, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. That's what he says. I've gone to those stores. I've seen the people. Open businesses aren't publicly criticized. Think about those closed businesses. Now, think also, just last week, there was a Florida pastor who was arrested for holding a service. Arrested. Did you ever think you'd hear such a thing in these United States of America, that a pastor would be arrested for holding a worship service? And they went through, they spent a lot of money. They got a super air purifier and medical grade stuff. I mean, they did everything they could possibly do to keep everybody apart like you guys are. You did that on your own. I didn't even have to tell you. Praise God. And what happened? Put him in jail. Put him in jail. Even though he went above and beyond the CDC standards. You know, there's a lot of businesses aren't going to survive this shutdown, and I believe there's going to be churches that don't survive also. I think there's churches. People are going to get comfortable sitting at home watching something online, and they're not going to come into the building. And you know why? Because that scare is going to stay. That fear is not going to go away. That fear is going to keep getting driven and driven. And you're going to remember, don't forget, never forget. Remember, don't forget, never forget. We must never forget. We must always remember. There's going to be a lot of empty church buildings across this land. Don't you think that's what the enemy wants? Don't you think that's what the enemy wants? Well, I'd submit to you a lot of them are dead anyway, so the Holy Spirit has said, Ichabod, see ya. I'm out of here. And I'm not trying to be critical, folks. I'm trying to be as real as I possibly can be. And I know those of you who know me know that. I am not trying to be critical. But I know if Jeremiah were here or Isaiah were here, they'd be critical. I know if Ezekiel was here, he'd be critical. Okay? I'm trying not to be. And I have to tell you something, because there's people that would turn this into a financial thing. Well, the only reason he's there is because he gets paid to be there. Well, I don't. I'm a volunteer. I am volunteering to be here, okay? Now, if anybody wants to make a gift to help support the pastor, I welcome them. I do. I'm not begging. I'm just saying, if the Lord lays something on your heart, we'll welcome it. But I'm a volunteer. I'm not here because I get paid. I'm not a hireling, okay? I am an under-shepherd of Christ. I serve my Lord because He's called me to serve. I preach to real living people in person, and I preach to people who are online. Yeah, they're real and living people. I can't see through that camera. I can see the little dot on the back of that iPad that's recording this, but I can't see anybody. Y'all can see me, but I can't see you. There's no interconnection. I can't get any feedback. I don't see your facial expressions. I don't see how your body language is. I don't catch any of that. So I don't know what to say. I got to rely fully on the Holy Spirit to give me the words to say so that you get the message that Almighty God wants you to get too. The doors will be open next week too if anybody wants to celebrate Resurrection Day. We don't celebrate Easter here. We haven't in many years. God, guide me. Give me unction. Some people can't even use Facebook. And so they can't join us online. They're sitting at home watching some guy on the television. Put your hand on the TV, brother, and I'll pray for you. Oh, and send me $1,000. Sow a seed into my kingdom. I mean into the kingdom. God have mercy. And you know, when we get right down to it, folks, I'll be wrapping up soon. When we get right down to it, nobody has authority to shut the doors and lock the people out. Nobody. Nobody is authorized by Almighty God to do that. That's a fact. And I don't have the authority either. I can't stop people from gathering together to worship God. To do so would be to violate God's word. And I'm not about to do that. Oh, and there'd be those who'd bring up the Levitical law and they'd say, well, you know, you still eat shellfish, right? I haven't in a long time. They closed Red Lobster. I can't even get a good crab leg. I told my wife right before this all happened, I said, we better go. We got a gift card. We better use it. So I have a suspicion they're going to shut them down. Yeah. One of the food rescue organizations told me, hey, we've got stuff from Red Lobster. You got lobster? The folks in Socorro will be eating good. No, no lobster. Oh, praise God. I've affirmed by God that I will not stop anybody from gathering together to worship Him. I affirm by Almighty God, I will not stop anybody from gathering together to worship Him. Not going to happen. Not on my watch. Those doors are going to remain unlocked and they'll stay that way no matter how many people criticize me or attempt to shame me, whether anybody's in the building or not. The doors are going to be unlocked. And you all can know that. And everybody who's listening online and anybody you want to tell, those doors are unlocked. That guy's not locking up. He's not leaving. He's not running off. He don't have his tail behind his, in between his legs. He is not afraid. He is standing on the Word of God, standing on the promises, just like my wife wanted to sing today, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm not going to shut the doors. I am not going to lock the doors. And if somebody takes me away, somebody else can step in. My wife will give you the key to get in. And you can stand up in this pulpit. You can preach His Word. You know, it's not about me, folks. It's not about me. It's about me doing what He wants me to do. It's about me serving Almighty God. And I want that to be for all of you. I want you to keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Not on all this mess. Keep your eyes on Him. We have fundamental rights that we receive from God. And we need to remember that. They come from Him. They don't come from government. They don't come from some church denomination. They don't come from anybody but Almighty God Himself. And you know what? He's the Creator of all that is, was, and ever will be. He's in control no matter what the purveyors of fear and rhetoric are selling to the masses who consume their message every day. And I am going to wrap it up now. I want to remind you of a few facts though. Our Creator is Almighty. How many can say amen to that? He's Almighty. He's all powerful. He's the ruler of heaven and earth. He rules the wind and the water. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. He's the greatest physician. He's the healer. He is our protector. He's our source of strength to get through any storm. Doesn't matter what label's on it. This is the COVID-19 storm of 2020. Doesn't matter. And I'm not making light of it. It's serious. But He's our source of strength to get through it. If we keep our eyes on Him. He's my God. How many of you can say that? He's my God. He's my God. He's my God. Shout it to heaven. He's my God. He sent the one that we call Jesus to make atonement for the sins of the lost world. And why? Because He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, He's my God. Nobody can stop the destruction that's promised for sinners who refuse to repent, though. And God won't. He says so. He wants none to perish. He wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants all to repent. He says so in His Word. So, I got everybody to turn to Him for what only He can provide. Salvation. You know, if you have fear right now, I'm looking at the people that are in this room and I'm guessing that all of you have met the Lord. But if anybody's watching online and they haven't, you need to find Him. Because the time's drawing near. Place your trust in Him, folks. Keep your eyes on Him, folks. Place your trust in Him. Place the protection of your soul in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. In Him I live and breathe and have my being. Will you join me? Let's all keep our eyes on Him. Let's all keep our eyes on Him. That's my call. That's the wrap up to all of it, folks. Let's keep our eyes on Him. Okay? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord. You are in control. So we praise You, Lord, and we glorify Your name. We ask that You and You alone would be glorified through all the words that were spoken here today. And God, where I've misspoke, I ask Your forgiveness. And with being live on Facebook, Lord, there's no erasing it. But I know that I have sought to preach Your truth. I know that I serve You and I want only to serve You. And on this day when we call Palm Sunday in remembrance of that time when our Lord and Savior walked into Jerusalem amid the joyous shouts of the crowd, help us to shout. He is my King, and I'm keeping my eyes on Him. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I guess we want to receive an offering, I guess, huh? Can we do that? I have a couple helpers, maybe. Somebody can help. Pray that God would lead us in our giving, that it would be sufficient to meet the needs here and beyond. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. Amen.